Okay, here we go. So, again, we're on page 17 of the. Yeah, you'll have to send a PM, Brother Matthew, to SDR Indy here in the room. She's the one that's sending the books out. I don't have time to even answer my own emails now. So just please just send a PM to SDR Indy, anybody wants the books, and make sure you give her your address. I have your address. Just tell Fran that, Matthew, I have your address. So just tell her to ask me for it later. So anyway, we're on page 17. This is a brand new chapter this week. It's the Great Controversy, of course, the Unaltered One, as I was talking about earlier, because I'm reading it now. Well, no, this is the 1858. The one I'm reading now is 1884. The volume forwards, fat, a lot bigger, a lot of more stuff in there. So I'm having a blast with this one. But I already finished the other one last week sometime. And I noticed Vern Bates has been putting notes, or somebody's putting notes in there saying, wow, this statement is not in 1911. Or the 1888 Great Controversy, and so on and so forth. And it's some scary statements, like especially when the city was surrounded in Jerusalem, 70 AD. They purposely left out some scary things because this is a prophetic event. This kind of stuff, this kind of spanking will be repeated. The SDA Church is going to have to deal with this. And all the people that are staying in the SDA Church, and including, sadly, those that slam me for the videos I'm putting up there, they have no grounds to call me a liar or anything, because I didn't write the Bible. I didn't write, Sister White's writings. And I certainly didn't write those letters that I put on the screen in the last video. And so what they're doing is they're denying the truth as it is written from God in the scripture, from Sister White, in prophecy, inspiration. And then from their own leaders in the church, the things that they're saying. And so that's the same mindset that some of the people had 2,000 years ago. And when their cup was finally filled to the point where, and it was really, really heart-wrenching to hear when Sister White was discussing this in the 1884, because this kind of discussion isn't in the 1858, because the 1858 was the preamble to this one, I guess. But how the Jews kept saying, let his blood be upon our hands and our children, upon our heads and our children. In other words, they felt so confident that this wasn't the Messiah, even though they knew they were lying, because, the Pharisees knew who he was, but he didn't come in the way they needed him to or wanted him to come politically, because they had already been that encapsulated by Satan. And so they are, when that 70 AD thing went down and they were getting slaughtered inside the city, it's just the way she describes it, parts of those things have been removed from the 1911 and 1888 versions. I don't know about the other versions, because Byrne didn't put it in there. But anyway, this chapter is actually chapter one. We read the preface last week, and the week before maybe. But this is called The Fall of Satan. It's page 17 of the actual 1858 Great Controversy, the unaltered one, the original one. And again, if you're on the radio and you want a copy of this, send me an email. I'll make sure my wife gets it. You got to have to put your name and address on there. I don't care what country you're in either. Don't worry about it. The Lord will provide the shipping and handling for us. And but yeah, we're sending them out. We just sent out 7 yesterday, so we've got 83 left. Or no, 73 left, because we got 80. And so anyway, The Fall of Satan. It says, the Lord has shown me that Satan was once an honored angel in heaven next to Jesus Christ. His countenance was mild, expressive of happiness like the other angels. His forehead was high and broad and showed great intelligence. His form was perfect. He had a noble, majestic bearing. And I saw that when God said to his son, let us make man in our image, Satan was jealous of Jesus. He wished to be consulted concerning the formation of man. He was filled with envy and jealousy and hatred. He wished to be... Now, here, let me stop here for a minute. This shows the mercy of the Lord here, even in heaven. And this is one of the reasons for the great controversy between Christ and Satan. We get free will, and it's overwhelmingly obvious that the angels do too. And so... In other words, the Lord does not create robots that say, I love you, I will worship you, and that kind of thing. You know, he wants real love. He wants us to be sad when we sin, to be happy when we repent, and, you know, to be happy when we're in trial, you know, to be happy that we're with him and trusting him and love him and all, you know, all that stuff. And but it's our own free will. He doesn't force his will on us. And it's obvious here that the way Satan acted, that it seems that, yeah, this is exactly the same deal with the angels. And so, anyway, she goes on to say that he, you know, speaking of Satan, he wished to be the highest in heaven next to God and receive the highest honors. Until this time, all heaven was in order, harmony, and perfect subjection to the government of God. It was the highest sin to rebel against the order and will of God. All heaven seemed to be in commotion. And this is one of the reasons, and she might get into this, I'm sure, and I'd kind of like to get confirmation on this kind of a thought anyway. But one of the reasons I think that he's not allowed forgiveness, if you will, is he's an angel. He's super intelligent. It's not like he didn't know what he was doing was wrong. He made the conscious choice, but there was still a point at where he could have turned it around and stopped and changed his mind. But he went a little forward on it, and so, and you don't play games with the angels, I guess. I mean, because they can do some pretty amazing things. So anyway, it says the angels were marshaled in companies with a commanding angel at their head. All the angels were astir. Satan was insinuating against the government of God, ambitious to exalt himself and unwilling to submit to the authority of Jesus. Some of the angels sympathized with Satan in his rebellion, and others strongly contended for the honor and wisdom of God and giving the authority to his son, which kind of reminds me, I don't know why it just popped into my mind, but there was a live feed of President Trump doing something, I think it was like a week or so ago, some rally, I think it was a Texas rally, you know, the pre-campaign thing. And he was going to make some kind of announcement, so I kind of was sitting around the stream just, you know, waiting. And I had to turn the volume down because right before he came out, they started playing that song from the Rolling Stones about, which is the title is Sympathy for the Devil. Seriously. And it's just all about, you know, giving Satan a second chance, to, you know, he's not as bad as you think. It's just ridiculous. And it's obvious, like, guys like Mick Jagger would have been singing it, and that whole band is just demonic. Well, they all are, but they're exceptionally bad. And so I thought, you could just see how evil everything is inside Washington, D.C., and Trump's no exception. You know, he's the better option when it comes to Hillary, obvious, but a lot of people are going to find out the hard way that, you know, this is what will lead to religious laws. Because I remember for decades I've been saying, ever since I saw what started happening with Reagan and the statements that he was making, you know, and I was a young man, obviously, but I had the opportunity to vote years before, many years before, but I never chose to because I always thought, you know, I think I started getting the ability to vote about a year or two after Nixon was elected. And I wanted to vote for him because I didn't want to go to Vietnam because he was talking about removing the draft. But with his resignation under Watergate and all that stuff, and then watching all the presidents after that, I thought, well, it just seems obvious to me, especially after I started reading the Bible, and especially after seeing what goes down in, you know, Revelation, that we're going to have to see the presidents get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse to the point where a people's president would have to be elected. And I've got radio broadcasts that are decades old in regards to me saying this kind of stuff, and no, I'm not a prophet. It's just obvious what's going on. And this is because you're going to have to get a guy up there that all the people are going to, you know, clamor after. And he doesn't have to be very moral. He can act like he's moral, but he doesn't have to be. He just has to be a non-politician kind of a guy that's going to be a completely different. And all the stuff you see in the media about them slamming him and hating him, that could all just be political theater because they're all in on it. But we don't care. I don't want to get in here about politics. I hate politics. But the way they glorify Satan, all of them across the board, overwhelmingly declares we are in the last days, but we're on the precipice of the of plague number one. Well, we're on the precipice of the loud cry, better yet. And so this is why a lot of us are being moved into a closer relationship with Christ, and you know, just being there with him and loving him and growing with him. Yep, okay. That was Luke. Hold on, I gotta... Where did it go? Oh, boy. I'm just gonna go, okay. But anyway, going on, she says that, and there was contention with the angels. Backtracking a little bit, it's because of what she said previously, that some of the angels sympathized with Satan and his rebellion, and others strongly contended for the honor and wisdom of God in giving authority to his son. And there was contention with the angels. Satan and his affected ones, who were striving to reform the government of God, wished to look into his unsearchable wisdom to ascertain his purpose in exalting Jesus and endowing him with such unlimited power and command. Let me stop here for a minute as well, because somebody put that verse in the room here. I think it's in Hebrews. I think it's chapter 2, where it says that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, so as to give, you know, to defeat he who had the power of death, that being the devil. There's a reason I want the verse in the room, so if anybody can do it, that'd be great. I think it's Hebrews chapter 2. I don't know, is Sean here tonight? Oh, no, he's not. Oh, Eli is. Thanks, bro. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. You know how many people have told me, for because they see this verse and other ones like it, or begotten of the Father, that kind of stuff, they seem to think that that means Jesus is a created being, even though he created all things that are seen and unseen. If you research and look into the word made here, it actually means, but it's not just, you can't just put the word madest in Strong's or in a Hebrew, because it's kind of like a word that carries off for three or four words. So madest him a little lower comes out to say that he was demoted or lowered himself in rank, which means he was already there. He had to have already been there for that kind of a word to be used. It just meant, I put it in my notes earlier. This computer comes up kind of slow. So, but yeah, I thought it was just very interesting. I just came across it. I mean, had I done the research years ago, I would have been able to deal with this, because people have come up on me in regards to, you know, trying to say that this proves he's a created being. He was made a little lower than the angels, and they're just not getting it. It's not about him being made. He was already made. The word made here. Oh, come on. Here it goes. All right. Oh, it's 33 degrees outside now. This thing just told me. No, it's not. It's 34 on my other one. So let me just get it up here. I think it's Hebrews 2:7, right? Because that's what Brother Eli just put in the room. Because I'm looking, I'm going to look for my notes here, because I actually put in there the... it's not, wait, nope, that's, there it is. It can also be said even today. Wow, I didn't highlight it? Or did... Okay, this better not be happening in here too, where it just loses my commas. I guess my notes aren't in here. This just doesn't make sense. This kind of weird stuff's been going on all week too. You know, I've been so busy that I haven't been able to, you know, do things right. Let's see, I did send him over to work some nine hands. All right, well, I'm just going to look up here. I'll just get the actual definition. Madest means, all right, dictionary, where are you here? Easton Strong's. I think it was an Easton Bible Dictionary that I found. Decrease, lessen, make lower. Yeah. So it's actually it's elatu, the Hebrew. No, that's Greek. Elatu. It's to be made lower, which means he was already there. To lessen, to decrease in rank. Yeah, that's another thing. In rank or influence, okay. And so, Remember that the next time somebody comes up to you and tries to say that Jesus Christ is a created being because of Hebrews 2:7. And now I'm going to have to put my notes back in for all that. I wonder if I have to put them in all of them. Boy, I hope not. I tell you. Anyway, going on. They rebelled against the authority of the Son of God, and all the angels were summoned to appear before the Father to have their cases decided. And it was decided that Satan should be expelled from heaven, and that the angels all who joined with Satan in the rebellion should be turned out with him. Then there was war in heaven. Angels were engaged in the battle. Satan wished to conquer the Son of God and those who were submissive to his will. But the good and the true angels prevailed, and Satan with his followers was driven from heaven. How do you do war with eternal beings? I mean, because only God can kill them, I'm assuming, right? And so then it must have been some very intense war, if you think about it, because if one angel can take out 20,000 men or 100,000 men, or wow, that'd be a sight to see. Not that I'd want to watch it. But anyway, after Satan was shut out of heaven with those who fell with him, he realized that he had lost all the purity and glory of heaven forever. Then he repented and wished to be reinstated again in heaven. But now it's too late. It's kind of like the burglar getting caught, and now he's got the handcuffs on. Now he wants to repent. So going on, it says, he was willing to take his proper place or any place that might be assigned him. But no, heaven must not be placed in jeopardy. All heaven might be marred should he be taken back, for sin originated with him, and the seeds of rebellion were within him. Satan, and that's the thing. See, that's why nothing that defileth shall enter therein. That's why the Lord's being very, very, particular with those that will gain heaven. And he understands that we don't understand it all. Like the thief on the cross is going to get there, right? Because Jesus told him he's going to be there. How much theology do you think that guy, understood? Not a lot, right? And so you don't have to be a card-carrying doctor of divinity to make it home to heaven. But you got to have a heart that says you are aware of, how much you love him, and you know what you're doing is wrong, and you repent properly, and you're like David, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Create a clean heart within me and all that stuff. Renew a right spirit within me, rather. And so, but if there's seeds of rebellion, that have not been extinguished, if you will, because that's one of the reasons for us being born again. That kind of stuff goes away and it's taken out. And so you don't want, at least you're not supposed to want, but you're still going to be tempted there. The enemy's going to go after you. But we are a lot weaker than angels. And so, but she goes on to say that Satan had obtained followers, those who sympathized with him in his rebellion. He and his followers repented, wept, and implored to be taken back into the favor of God. But no, their sin, their hate, their envy, and jealousy had been so great that God could not blot it out. And one of the reasons, like I was saying earlier, is because they're super intelligent. They're angels. And it's not like they didn't know what they were doing was wrong. They made a conscious choice to go against their own creator and his father. So she says it must remain to receive its final punishment. When Satan became fully conscious that there was no possibility of his being brought again into the favor of God, then his malice and hatred began to be manifest. And so there you go. That kind of reminds me of 1844, if you think about it, because the people were tested. The Lord's hand was over, the mistake, about... And it's because there was a lot of that abysmal Catholicism all mixed into their theology, because they were more or less still Sunday keeping, I think, at that point. The Millerites and that, I don't know if it was before or after they... I think it was after the mistake that they started to realize the Sabbath. But they were allowed to have the mistake so as to see who's going to be the serious ones. And it's so sad that that number went from such a massive number down to 50 people. That's really all you need if you think about it, because he, like with patriarchs and prophets, it's like one or two prophets hitting the street. The apostles are only 12, and so on and so forth. So going on, it says, he consulted with his angels and a plan was laid to still work against God's government. And so there you have it. The seed never really was gone, because if he was really truly repentant, I mean, this is a crazy thought that just came to mind, but if he was truly, truly, truly understood that he had no chance now, and it's just going to end up in his death, wouldn't it just be smart to do what Judas did, hang from a tree? But again, it's an age, you can't really kill yourself that easy, or at all, I wouldn't think. But still, that doesn't say that Judas gained heaven for suicide, because he sealed his fate, committing self-murder, you know? Not only did he cause the death of Jesus Christ, sold him for silver like Balaam would have done had he been around, but he killed himself on top of it, and so not good. So going on, when Adam and Eve were placed in the beautiful garden, Satan was laying plans to destroy them. A consultation was held with his evil angels, and in no way could this happy couple be deprived of their happiness if they obeyed God. And that reminds me of the infancy of the United States of America, when the Brits and the elite involved with them realized that everything that this nation was doing could not be rebuked or defeated, even though it was just an infant nation. It was obvious God was protecting it, and so the only way, and this is one of the reasons some of us aren't getting messed with by, certain authorities, because, the Lord's protecting us mainly because of the hedge of angels. Obviously, he needs us to work to do, but some of these guys are just plain fearful because they got the inside information as to what went down when they approached this Christian or that Christian or this Christian, because you don't play games with God's people. And, the leaders, and especially the leaders in the church that got the archives of the most wicked of them all, that are hiding these things, like the leaders in the SDA church that know certain things about, why they've removed and changed her writings and why they're doing what they're doing in the SDA church. What you see happening in the SDA church since 1888 is the exact same thing seen to be happening in the United States of America. They figure the only way we're going to be able to get to these people is to get God away from them, get them away from God, rather. And that's why they brought in entertainment and, like Disney and movies and stuff. And same thing with the SDA church. They just whittled down their faith to get them to a point where they were lukewarm, and then bam, hook, line, and sinker. They're done. So going on, Satan could not exercise his power upon them unless they should first disobey God and forfeit his favor. Because that's just the way it's been for 6,000 years, right? And they must devise some plan to lead them to disobedience, that they might incur God's frown and be brought under the more direct influence of Satan and his angels, because then he's got control, right? It was decided that Satan should assume another form. Wait, hold on a second here. Oh, wow. I should... probably plug this phone in. Hold on. Okay. Sorry for the dead air and delay and all that, everybody. Okay. Again, stuff I can't foresee. So I have these technical issues. Anyway, so it was decided... All right, let me backtrack a little bit. They must have... Yeah, okay. Satan and the angels are figuring this out, and they go, they must devise some plan to lead them to disobedience, that they might incur God's frown and be brought under the more direct influence of Satan and his angels. It was decided that Satan should assume another form and manifest an interest for man. He must insinuate against God's truthfulness, create doubt whether God did mean as he said. Next, excite their curiosity, and lead them to pry into unsearchable plans of God, which Satan had been guilty of, and reason as to the cause of his restrictions in regards to the tree of knowledge. Oh, so yeah, he just more or less ran with what he was running with before the war in heaven, I guess. So, the fall of man, chapter 2, we're on page 20, I guess. If 20, if you're just joining us on... WTPR, we're on page 20 of the 1858 Great Controversy. So, It says, I saw that the holy angels often visited the garden and gave instruction to Adam and Eve concerning their employment, and also taught them concerning the rebellion of Satan and his fall. Which kind of makes you wonder, being ambassadors for Christ when we go home, because he says we'll reign with him. Well, who are we going to reign over? We certainly can't reign over each other because we're reigning with Christ. And so Christ isn't going to reign. Well, you know what I mean. So Christ is definitely going to reign. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We're just ambassadors. And so if the angels are sitting here educating Adam and Eve, I wonder what we're going to be doing for those folks on those other worlds. And if that just threw your eyebrows up, look up worlds in the King James Bible. You'll find two verses that Paul mentions the fact that there are other planets out there. So the angels warned them of Satan and cautioned them not to separate from each other in their employment, you know, taking care of the garden, for they might be brought in contact with this fallen foe. I guess he had to be there, but it would have been nice if he wasn't. But the angels enjoined upon them to closely follow the directions God had given them, for in perfect obedience only were they safe. And remember those words. In perfect obedience is where we're going to be safe. You know, we'll eventually get there. Yeah, all of us, you know, we're working our way towards there, myself included. We're all sinners saved by grace. Even Paul said he was a wretched soul. And so keep praying, keep trying, no matter what the sin is that you're, you know, working to overcome. So going on, it says, and if they were obedient, this fallen foe could have no power over them. Satan commenced his work with Eve to cause her to disobey. She first erred in wandering from her husband, next in lingering around the forbidden tree, and next in listening to the voice of the tempter and even daring to doubt what God had said. And the only reason she would dare to doubt is because she disobeyed right off the bat. She's on her own. Kind of reminds me when Jesus said, when you hear them say that I am in the desert in the inner rooms, don't go there. He doesn't have to go into any detail. We got 66 books worth of detail. All he's got to do is just tell us what his will is. Don't go there. You ain't ready for it. Case in point, Revelation 19:10. Look what happened with John when he got in the presence of a good angel. He collapsed in worship. Well, you get in the presence of a bad angel, you're going to collapse in worship. The only problem is that angel is not going to tell you to knock it off. He's going to insist you continue. And it'll already be too late because you've already disobeyed, which she did here. She walked away from her husband, and Adam's partially to blame too. He should just say, hey, where are you going? You know, we got to stick together. We're at war here. And then, because none of us really know how long, this could have been going on for years. We don't know. Could have been going on for decades, even centuries. We don't know. Nobody knows. Maybe Sister White says something about it. I don't know, but I've never read anything about it. So, and then she lingers around the forbidden tree, you know, kind of like lingering on YouTube or lingering on TV or lingering in a bookstore, you know, where it's got some books you shouldn't be looking at, and so on and so forth, or a bar, lingering in the liquor aisle of Myers or something, you know. Don't linger. Don't even give him an opportunity. He sees you lingering. He sees you, you know, he's going to jump because that's a sign to him that, hey, you're ready. Yeah, I know that, you know, because he can work with it. He can get you to go further with it. All he needs is, you know, like a, even if you got a hangnail on your pinky toe, if you only give him that, he'll go for it. And before you know it, he's got your leg and now you're stuck. Nothing you can do. So she goes on to say that in the day that thou eatest thereof. In other words, she was daring to doubt what God had said, which was, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And here, by the way, a lot of people, you got to remember who's talking here. It's the Father. Right? I'll explain that in a minute. Because I was just talking to a buddy of mine the other day, that guy that calls me every now and then, and I call him Tony. You know, him and I used to hang when we were preteens. That's how long I've known this guy. But he never knew this because he was wondering about, you know, because some people say that it looks like the Bible contradicts itself because Adam and Eve didn't die that day. They ate of the fruit. And I said, yes, they did. And you can just see the wheels turning, even though it's on the phone. And he goes, okay, I get it. They died spiritually. I says, yes, that's 50% of it. That day, they died spiritually. The fact the robe fell off proved it. But the other case in point on this is the physical day. They died that literal, not literal, but they died that day. And he goes, well, how can you say that? And I says, well, who's talking here? Who's the one that gave the warning? This is the Father. Okay. Doesn't it say in the word of the day is 1,000 years unto God? How long did Adam and Eve live? I know Methuselah was the longest guy, 969. I think Adam lived in 939. So he died that day twice. And this also, this shows you how inept, but then again, we are in the last days. And so you're going to get a lot of preachers out there that have absolutely no clue as to what the Bible says in regards to certain things, especially when it comes to prophecy. But even doctrinal truths like the robe of light, I mean, it's obvious. I mean, the Bible doesn't say there's a robe of light, but the Bible does say that the moment they sinned and rebelled against God, Adam and Eve all of a sudden realized they were naked. So how do you figure that happened? Is it all of a sudden that they're just stupid, down a couple of, in other words, they're just plain stupid, they don't have the brains to figure it out? No, Adam and Eve, they weren't no, intellectual slouches. They were perfect humans. They had everything they needed. They didn't even have to read a book to figure stuff out. Word of mouth is absolute memorization, everything like that. They didn't start writing books until Moses' day. That's after the flood. And so it was obvious that it was a robe of light because all of a sudden the light turned off. The presence was no longer upon them. And so that's how wicked when you think of like, and I put this in my book, People Get Ready, but I saw it many years ago, I think when I was still a Sunday keeper. I just held on to these goofy articles for some reason. I didn't know at that time, and I know now, but I didn't know at that time why I held on to the articles, but I still have that black filing cabinet, too, in the basement. But where's it got all that, these bad articles? It's a good thing it's black. But anyway, I can see the article in my mind right now. I can't really see the headline that clear, but it's there it is. All right. Baptists reading the Bible in the buff. It was a nudist colony of Baptists. And they're saying that, well, Adam and Eve were naked. And they're, no, they weren't. They had a robe of light. And then that's why they put the fig leaves on them after the light went out. But when you're all about the flesh, that's all you're going to see. And that's why we keep looking through glasses darkly till that time. And so anyway, she goes on to say that after Satan says in that, he was mocking God when he echoed what the Lord said. He says, in that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. She thought perhaps it does not mean just as the Lord said. He's got a foot in the door or a hoof in the door, however you want to look at him. She ventured to disobey. She put forth her hand, took of the fruit, and ate. It was pleasing to the eye and pleasant to the taste. Now keep in mind, this is the Garden of Eden. It's not like you got Cheerios, Cocoa Krispies, and candy bars. This is the only food you know of. And so when you have something that tastes really good, it's completely different from what you're used to, even though the other stuff is pretty good too, right? And so it was easy for this to become an issue in regards to her rebelling. So, and isn't that always the way, though, when you think about it? I mean, look at some of the unclean foods of today. There's a reason they pump so much salt into the hide of a pig when they slaughter him, for making bacon or whatever. But so it makes it taste so much better. Or even the MSGs that they put, monosodium glutamate in some of the food out there, or the processed food has the MSGs in it. That's an excitotoxin. That's why a lot of Americans are overweight, because you think it tastes exceptionally well when it really doesn't. And like I've said so many times before, you can put MSG on cardboard and it'll taste pretty good. It's the MSG doing it. It's a neuro, kind of like a mild neurotoxin, I guess, because it works on the brain. Anyway, it goes on to say that it was pleasing to the eye and pleasant to the taste. She was jealous that God had withheld from them what was really for their good. She offered the fruit to her husband, thereby tempting him. She related to Adam all that the serpent had said and expressed her astonishment that he had the power of speech. So, there again, it's just like with the Catholics, with your dead grandma at the end of your bed. If something happened before you in an unnatural way, it locks them in. All these apparitions, there's no mistake for that. And I honestly believe in my heart of hearts that Satan didn't start the apparitions in America until 2 years after Ellen White died, because she'd have said something about that, and it would have been pretty crystal clear on how to expose it. And so he waited for Fatima, even though it wasn't in the States. It was Our Lady of Fatima in Lourdes, France, and all that stuff. And then Garabandal after that, and Medjugorje and everything. But because it's totally unnatural, they fall for it, thinking it's got to be the power of God. And it's just, Portugal, thanks. So going on, it says, I saw a sadness came over Adam's countenance. He appeared afraid and astonished. A struggle appeared to be going on in his mind. He felt sure that this was the foe which they had been warned against, and that his wife must die. They must be separated. His love for her, for Eve, was strong, and in utter discouragement, he resolved to share her fate. See, I thought he could have just waited. The Lord would have given him another wife, but, the heart wants what it wants sometimes, right? So he seized the fruit and quickly ate it, just to get it over with, obviously. Then Satan exulted. He had rebelled in heaven and had sympathizers who loved him, the other angels, and followed him in his rebellion. He fell and caused others to fall with him. And he had now tempted the woman to distrust God, to inquire into his wisdom, and to seek to penetrate his all-wise plans. Satan knew the woman would not fall alone. Adam, through his love for Eve, disobeyed the command of God and fell with her. The news of man's fall spread. Let me just see where we're going with this. Oh, good, it's almost over, so I'm going to finish this chapter today. So we might go over a few minutes. It says, the news of man's fall spread through heaven. Every harp was hushed. The angels cast their crowns from their heads in sorrow. All heaven was in agitation. A council was held to decide what's to be done with the guilty pair. The angels feared that they would put forth the hand and eat of the tree of life and be immortal sinners. But God said that he would drive the transgressors from the garden. Angels were commissioned immediately to guard the way of the tree of life. That must have been a sight. Anyway, it had been Satan's studied plan that Adam and Eve should disobey God, receive his frown, and then be led on to partake of the tree of life, that they might live forever in sin and disobedience, and thus sin be immortalized, which means now he had a chance. This could go on for all eternity. But holy angels, and it kind of makes me wonder, though, too, when you think of stuff like, Hollywood with their Star Wars and stuff. It's like Satan's wish, if you will, to have a constant battle going on in the universe for all eternity. But no, it's ending soon, so it's just his wishful thinking, I guess you could put it. But as intelligent as he is, he's got to be the dumbest thing ever made. It wasn't because he was made improperly. It was just that he was the dumbest thing that ever lived. Let's just put it that way. Because of what he gave up, just for pride, just to have just really odd. So anyway, but holy angels, it says, but holy angels were sent to drive them out of the garden, Adam and Eve, while another company of angels were commissioned to guard the way to the tree of life. Each of these mighty angels appeared to have something in their right hand, which looked like a glittering sword. Then Satan triumphed. Others he had made to suffer by his, others he had made to suffer by his fall. He had been shut out of heaven, and they out of paradise. And then next week we'll start chapter 3, which is the plan of salvation, and that is page 22. So let me go put that over here, page 22. And we're already in March, and so next Friday will be the 8th, I'm assuming, right? Yep, let me just add 7. Okay, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to end with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us and giving us all that we need to grow in Christ. Thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us day by day, hour by hour. The enemy is just not letting up, as you know. You saw this all start in Eden. So please give us the strength to stand firm and be absolutely, unequivocally obedient. Because not only will we gain eternal life, we'll be able to have the wisdom and the knowledge to go forth and help others. Because you're not going to bless people that are in disobedience with truth. And so please renew a right spirit within all of us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Bless all those that are on our prayer list and all those that were mentioned in the prayer list here a few moments ago in the text chat. And thank you again, Father, for loving us first and teaching us how to love each other and you. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.